PowerPoint anymore. Is that a new one? No? But that's the first time I saw it. Maybe this is the first time I saw it, but I really like it. Well, welcome everybody. God bless this day. And we're getting rain. We did need some rain. It's getting dry. Yesterday I saw baseball fans and people I love to watch baseball and to baseball and play baseball. I saw this great article yesterday. This picture is a college tournament going on in baseball right now. And there's an outfielder that went to catch a ball in college baseball and he dove, I guess, to catch this ball. Did you see this? And yeah, it went up over his back. It hit the glove and went rolled over his head. It rolled around his back and it came down right into his glove. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And they saw it on the news and it was really pretty amazing. Well, that led me to a bunch of baseball games this morning. So, what do baseball games and pancakes have in common? All about the batter. If your batter's too thick, it has to be this way. And evidently, if you're making crepes, then the batter even has to be really thin, right? Where do baseball players keep their baseball mitts? Glove department. Glove box is good. And the last one, which baseball player is in charge of all refreshments? Get a little lemonade going. Left, yeah. This morning, we're in the title of the message. We're actually, we're just really looking at baptism. We went through James, a great book to study, and I was kind of thinking, well, where do we go after we went through the book of James? And I was looking at some of the church bylaws and the doctrine. Let's jump into some of the doctrine. What do we as Christians believe and why do we believe it? What is our Christian faith and what is that faith from Scripture? So that's kind of what I wanted to start bouncing around before we get into another book. So today's sermon title is discussing baptism, but what is it and why do we do it? Lord, we thank you for being here. We thank you, Lord. You know, we know that we're two or more gathered. You were there. We know that you're here this morning, Lord. And I ask that you speak to our hearts, help us to realize how important and how loving you are. I pray for that this morning, Lord, that we can realize that. Baptism. The Greek word for baptism is baptizo, baptism, and it means to be overwhelmed in the New Testament in the Greek. It means fully immersed in water and fully cleansed, like you're fully overwhelmed, and you feel like you're going to baptism. The same word is used when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, and it's overwhelmed. When we're talking about baptism, which the church bylaws, and that's kind of why I ran this down, going over church bylaws and stuff. But we have one in there with ordinances, baptism and communion. So we're looking at baptism this morning and why it's important to be baptized. Why does it have anything to do with our salvation? No, it doesn't have any impact on our salvation. Salvation is belief. Take away our salvation. We're fully based upon Jesus Christ. But baptism, we find that this Greek word is fully overwhelmed. What is baptism? I always like to, I like to go back to Scripture. Sometimes maybe I'm a very independent thinker. Maybe that's why I'm an entrepreneur, because when we else is going to hire me, or I don't know, or however that would look. But I love to look at Scripture and take it down and boil it down to why do we do this? Like, what did Scripture tell us here? Not what tradition and historical things have we learned in the church through after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and then we had years of church and years of theory and thought. Why do we do it? Boil this down. What does Scripture say? That's where I always go back to what I see these things. And all through college, I did the same thing. And I would talk to some of my professors and people would debate. They're going back and forth on debating. And I said, this is nuts. This is what the Scripture says. That's it. That's how I look at things. I try to boil it down to what does Jesus say. What does the Scripture say on the topic? So as Christians, what are we? What's that word, Christian? We're Christ followers, right? We're supposed to be following what Christ did. So many times, even in the New Testament, we say that there are people following disciples, people follow apostles. The apostles, the disciples, all great men, godly men, with discussion. But we are not called, we're called Christians. We're not called disciples. Right? We don't follow what Peter did. And if we do, we would follow Jesus. We all go back to Jesus. We're not called apostles because we're not following the apostles. We're following the apostles of Jesus. Right? That's what we're going back to. And we're not churching it. We're not following these traditions that have been practiced by churches over time. They're good. They're possible. They all go back to there. They all go back. Boil it all down. We all come back to Jesus. That's where we come to. So baptism taking that down all the way back to Jesus Christ. In the beginning, John the Baptist kind of came on the scene of repentance of water. And then over time, after Christ was ascended into heaven, still that time with the Easter that Jesus was still walking the earth, right? It was years ago. So you had Easter, still walking first of this time, years ago. And then he ascended into heaven, and the apostles then began to promote and push the gospel. People were getting saved, people were getting baptized. And then all of a sudden, about 6 years after this baptism and leaving, being baptized, being believing, then there's a time gap where people, then they got baptized. And you wonder why that happened, what happened there. Scripture we see, believe, and you're baptized. So what kind of happened there was, in the early church, in Scripture, Jesus came to who first? Jesus came to Jews, Israel, which all knew the Torah. Jews understood, and Israel, the Israeli people understood the Old Testament about cleansing, about cleaning. They had Leviticus. And all these documents about and laws about being clean. They can't enter into the camp. You can't enter among other people if you are unclean, unceremonially clean. And the Israeli people understood that. And then they say the early church, the Gentiles, didn't understand it. The Gentiles didn't have all the understanding of the Torah of being cleansed. So that's why they say early church, they went from being believing to be baptized right away to believing. And having this time gap, they spent like 3 years in the early church of training to make sure the gospel cooked in their life, right? So they could understand everything. That's what was implied. I'm not saying it's bad, I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying that's really what happened in the early church for the Gentiles, us. Not to So that change took place. So if you boil this down, baptism, boil it back down to Christ, back to the time of Christ, Matthew 28. We're going to start there. Matthew, we're going to keep jumping around, but we're going to start Matthew 28:18. Actually, we're going to start in verse 16. It's the Great Commission. Once again, Christ, Matthew 28, verse 18. Then the 11 disciples, only 11 at the time, went to Galilee to the mountain. When they saw him, they were some doubt. Then Jesus came to them and said, "This is the last word of Christ before he was ascending into heaven." You think it, maybe this is an important prayer? Yeah, I would say so, right? Last thing he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Last word of Christ on earth. He was dead. He was buried. He rose again. And as now, not as even a human, because he was over conquered death at this point, was walking earth. And right before he was getting to ascend into heaven, he gives this commandment to the disciples. He sent it to the apostles, which to us is the same exact commandment. Two things that we're supposed to do is to make the disciples and be baptized. So when we start looking at baptism, and we look at the importance that baptism is spoken about here, well, what did Jesus do? You hear that? Do you remember that phrase? What would Jesus do? Right? My daughter had the bracelet. What would Jesus do? So that's kind of what I'm looking at. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do when it came to this relation to baptism? Well, we're going to go back and say, we're Christians. We follow Jesus on what he did. Not follow what the church teaches. We're all back in Jesus. Spoiler, church has things that over history has happened. The apostles did their thing. The disciples did their thing. It all comes back to Jesus. Spoiler, all the way back to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He came to baptism. Matthew 3. I'm going to start Matthew 3 because it kind of comes about. Actually, we're going to start Matthew 3, 13, and just 3:7. If I get too far back into John the Baptist, that will be over time. But John the Baptist, in the beginning of Matthew, here we see John the Baptist, who was from out the wilderness. And imagine, like, so he wore goat, camel hair, right? He wore messy clothes, he stank, and he like, so the humans just died. Steve, he says, every time you wore, every time your beard was laid down, every time you've done the bathroom. But anyhow, so, not that you stink, buddy, but, yeah. So we see that John the Baptist, who? He was the cousin of Jesus. He was filled with the Spirit in the womb when he met Jesus, when they were still in the womb. And this is what we talked about. He was filled in the basement. Within the room. And John the Baptist, who was this radical guy at the time, was out in the wilderness baptizing people in the Jordan. And at the place where they were coming to baptize and baptizing, that's where the same location where they found most of the Dead Sea Scrolls. I'm not sure if you've ever looked into the Dead Sea Scrolls, but awesome amount of information historically accurate going back thousands of years. It's an amazing whole thing of the truth going back to the truth of our scriptures and down to the soul. So John the Baptist is coming out of this area, baptizing people in the Jordan River. And it wasn't a baptism of salvation. He was going to the Jewish people. The Jewish people understood cleansing because they had the Torah. They had Moses' law. They understood what Moses talked about of cleansing. John would come out and was baptizing those forerunner of Jesus, and he's saying, one's coming, and he was baptizing people of us in the form of cleansing of repentance, or heart cleansing. That's what he was doing. So Jesus then, all of a sudden, with Jesus, did he need to be baptized? No, he didn't need to be baptized. He was Jesus. Jesus, here in verse, in chapter 3, verse 13, when Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then this actually starts the beginning of what Jesus is. Jesus, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, Christians, followers, was baptized. So when we look at baptism, there's many forms and many theories and many doctrines. I always love when Roger shows me talk about stuff. He's like forwards, backwards, sideways, sprinkle, four. And so there's a lot of different ways that people do baptism. There's no question. And I'm not here saying that they which way is right or wrong. I'm just saying, what I see in Scripture, if we boil it down, as a Christian, Jesus Christ, using the Greek word, was fully immersed in running water, and that's the thing that he poured it in running water, they had all the things. So Jesus was baptized. So as a Christian, when we look at believers' baptism, there's no salvation involved in the question of that expression. It's the symbol, just of what Jesus did, just of what John promoted when he was baptizing people in the Jordan. He was going back to the Levitical law saying, you are being cleansed. This is a cleansing. And this example of baptism is fully that, an example. It's an outward showing that we are being cleaned, that we have been cleaned, not by water, but we have been cleaned, our heart, our sinful nature, has been cleaned by who? God, Jesus. Jesus' death on the cross is that example. So we know Jesus was baptized. If we're followers of Jesus, Jesus was baptized. We go over to Acts, beginning into the church here. The church after, this is after Jesus ascended into heaven. This is after the Spirit was given to the apostles. And a lot of this stuff has taken place. Now we're in the beginning of Acts. Acts 2, verse 38. We're going to go where Peter replied. mind. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. They believed, and they were baptized. So they say where they were baptized because they were baptized. So they were saved by Jesus Christ. They were saved through Jesus Christ, death on the cross, and ascension into heaven and resurrection. Jesus was that man. These guys, the early church, were baptized as disciples. Just as John the Baptist baptized at jumping down to, I want to jump over to Acts, another example here, Acts 8, chapter 8. I always love this, and I continue to get sidetracked on this passage of scripture, so we're actually come back to this at another point, but I just love digging into what happened on this, at this time. Philip, Ethiopian, Acts 8, we're going to read 28 through 39. I'm going to start at 26. For an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. This is the part I absolutely love. He said, find the coolest thing right here. This is so cool about Philip. And then Philip ran to the chariot. He knew, the Spirit told him, there's a person here that's searching. And Philip didn't, he wasn't like, ran with excitement because somebody was about to understand the gospel, right? So I think that's so awesome. Anyway, we'll come back to that because I want to pull that one way apart. So Philip ran in the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. The guy said, how can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. He's supposed to be explaining the gospel. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not, Jesus, open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from him on earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And told him the good news. He just didn't sit back. He ran to that event. Ran to that event. There's an urgency. This guy, he would die if he fought that chariot. He gets run over. He doesn't know Jesus. He's going to die. And Philip knew it. He ran to the event. As he traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized the eunuch. Was he Jewish? Gentile. He didn't understand the full glory. He didn't understand all the blessings. He didn't understand all the rituals that the Jewish people had coming from Leviticus. God put in for the Israel. He didn't understand that. But he got back. He understood the gospel. He understood. He felt the flame in him. In his chariot. Praise God. You remember he did someday, right? I mean, isn't that cool? You read about thousands of years later, and here's this Ethiopian eunuch that we're going to meet someday, and we've read about it for years. And he was believed, and he was baptized. A believer's baptism. And went down into the water, baptized. I always mess up my dreams. Baptized. So, however you want to take your Greek, I'm not at all. Maybe sometimes three. But he was baptized. He was immersed. He gave this himself as an outward example of baptism. The baptism did not change him, but it was a call to the baptized with water. Acts 10. Another example of another Gentile, Cornelius. We read about this. And actually, Peter took flack on this one from the church in Jerusalem until he explained himself. So when we boil back, all this stuff, all the doctrine, all sorts of stuff that we see in the Asian church, we boil it down to the purest, simplest form of what the scripture talks about baptism. Acts 10, 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, so he went to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a military guy in Rome. And he was a leader in the Roman army. I'm sure he had people underneath him. But you find going back, if you go back here, there was another building. But anyhow. So here was this guy, and he was following some sort of the Israeli hero. Like, he was in prayer, and he would help the poor. So here's this Roman official, this Roman army guy, who really saw and understood who God was, and he understood and was praying for people and was taking care of people. He was praying and said, Cornelius, I heard your prayers. Like, it rose up to heaven, and it talked about the prayers of the saints. And his prayers rose up to heaven. God heard them. Just like he hears us. When we call out of this church and we pray for our community, we pray for people that need a Savior, that they will find it. God hears them. It's just not some God up in the sky that he loves us. He hears us. And an angel came to Cornelius and said, hey, we heard this. Peter, this apostle, he's staying in this guy's house down by the sea. Peter, he's this guy. So he's like, send some people down there and get them to come back here. So they go down and get Peter. I'm going. So Peter was what? He was following. All like us made mistakes. We're not following Peter, right? We were following Jesus, we're Christians, just like Peter was following Jesus. He wasn't perfect. Now, where was that? Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit is talking to Jesus. They knew, like, Cornelius and the people that understood who Jesus was. They then accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And after they accepted Jesus and understood God's salvation through Jesus, Peter said to them in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on those, on all who heard the message. The circumcised, which was the Jewish believers, they were the circumcised ones. Cornelius, they were Romans, they were Gentiles, they weren't circumcised at that time. The circumcised believed who had come with, they couldn't believe, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out, even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people, us dirty Gentiles, right? Because these are the dirty people. We were Israeli people. And Peter was Jewish. He said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they ask Peter to stay with them. Baptism. Jesus Christ himself was baptized. So when we look at the form of baptism, I believe, from what I see in Scripture, that we are called to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Right? That's where our forgiveness stems from. Why? That's what God has. I don't know all of it, but that's what God said. Jesus Christ is our Savior. We believe with believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Once we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we're called to show that outwardly. That's what I see taking place in Scripture. That's what I see the disciples did. We see the disciples throughout that time. It's an outward example. As we are people, we stand here, like we're here, standing, symbolizing the fact we have our life. Back into the water that symbolizes the death of you. The death of who you are at birth. Your spiritual deadness, your sin, that the civilization of Christ died when it was that's what it was. And then when you're brought up full immersion, full well, you're brought up out of the water. It's a symbolization of now I am clean. Now I am a new person. My sins have been washed away. That's what the symbolization of that goes back to Israel. Leviticus talks about the cleansing of those. They have also ceremonial rituals to be cleansed to go into the presence of the Lord. Even if they have been around them, where if they weren't clean, what happened to them? They just died. That's what happened to Israel. That's the symbolization. So we know that God can't allow the presence of sin in the heavens. No matter how much you love somebody, no matter how good you are, it comes down to that. Salvation is the only way we can go and enter into the presence of God. And this baptism is just the simplification of that overall experience. So, we talked about having a baptism service. It would be outside, and we'll have more. But I'm all about sharing the gospel, and I'm all about getting people baptized. Because that's our call. That's what we're doing. So, you've never been baptized. Talk to me. You're going to have a baptizing service. And we can go through it. We're going to talk about, your salvation. And we'll talk about, talk to God, or Roger Adams. Talk to somebody as deeply as God. But God is calling us to do that. I'm not going to ride you on it. That's the kingdom of God. But God wants us to do that. As we close out with prayer. Actually, I'm going to close out well. I'm going to close out the prayer and I'll leave you with this word. Father, Lord, God, I love the stories in the scriptures. I love reading about this. I love what you have done for us. And Lord, I know we are under a vast deception in our world and not bringing money into the business of loving you and not bringing social endeavors instead of loving you. Lord, the confusion, everything that's taking place amongst us, society, together, all getting faster and more confusing, people just aren't confused. Lord, I pray for the community around us. I pray for our church. I pray for the confusion that happens to people in this community. That is clear, Lord, that you want us to be saved. You want us to follow your help us to understand what the scripture says on the issues that we have in mind to present. Lord, I thank you for just how you showed us how you want us and what you want us to do and to be. And I thank you for all those that have been before us within the church, the universal church, and that have held to the principle of your doctrine, your love, and to know who you are. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you for your love and support of all creation. I'll leave you with this. He's already read it. Very important. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, heaven and earth, has been given to me. Therefore, Jeff, Steve, Roger, Janet, Vicky, everybody in here says this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And it's our job to teach them to obey everything I have